Welcome back, listeners. I'm Brett Wright, your narrator for Derailed. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. As always, I have a few important notes before we continue with our story. Derailed is a fiction mystery series, which will run for a limited number of episodes, with a new episode releasing every week. Content warnings for all of our episodes will be included at the bottom of the show notes. Some of these can contain spoilers, but as Derailed explores some dark themes, I recommend checking them out beforehand. The show's founders, Mateo Bradford Vazquez, John Stokinger, and Neely Khan, would like to thank you once again for supporting this podcast and wish you an epic listening experience. So, last week's episode ended on quite the cliffhanger. Here's a catch-up before we continue the story. Previously on Derailed, Detective Johnson and Officer Ramos have arrived in Miami to question Lena Hadid's parents, who are continuing to be elusive with the cops. Ramos is beginning to feel the heat of Lena Hadid's case. At a gym in Miami, he loses his temper with a friend named Scars, who makes inappropriate comments about Lena and her family. When Ramos's other friend, Ryder, pulls him away from the confrontation, Ramos reveals that he's frustrated with the slow progress of Lena Hadid's case, as well as the struggle of working up the ranks as a black officer. The officer admits that he's willing to do anything to get promoted to detective. Meanwhile, Jace travels from Miami to Bend, from where he leaves Astrid a message to book his first therapy session. He also receives a series of WhatsApp voice notes from Nanine, who's seriously pissed at the writer's lack of progress with his manuscript. Nanine warns Jace in his voice note to back off Lena Hadid's investigation and focus on his crippling career instead. Still in Miami, Detective Johnson and Officer Ramos come to the realization that Lena Hadid had no obvious reason to be near Masari Cabin Rentals on the day of the fire, because the conference that Lena was at Star River for was taking place on the opposite side of town. With this in mind, Detective Johnson instructs Ramos to find out the exact reason why Lena was near the Woodland area the day she died. Not long after Jace has arrived in Miami, he pays a visit to Lena's parents, Yusuf and Emily Hadid, at their Cassiola vacation rental. Yusuf opens the front door to Jace, and the writer confidently claims that he's an old friend of Lena's. Yeah, shit. Also in last week's episode was a flashback from Lena Hadid's life. In the flashback, a 9-year-old Lena is worried about her mother, Emily, who has locked herself in her bedroom and is threatening to slit her own wrists to Yusuf over the phone. Emily can be heard accusing Yusuf to be responsible for the absence of two people named Aliyah and Omar. The story is definitely heating up, friends. Let's see what's in store for our characters next.
I'm sorry, do you say you were a friend of Lena's?
I was. I mean, I am.
I do hope you're more decisive with your tenses when you're writing, Mr. Nolan.
Oh, you recognize me?
For the love of time.
I didn't think surgeons read romance novels.
Well, that's a rather myopic point of view. Khosrow and Shirin, Layla and Majnun.
Sorry?
Romantic tragedies that were written nearly 1,000 years before Romeo and Juliet. I quite enjoy Golshiri, actually. He was the first Iranian writer to use modern literary techniques, I believe, but not in a way that leaned on childish metaphors. Your books, I haven't read them, but I have read the reviews and of your accolades. They paint a clear enough picture.
I'm not sure what to make of that.
Why are you here, Mr. Nolan?
Like I said, I'm a friend of Lena's, and I...
Where did you meet my daughter?
I just wanted to pay my condolences. I'm really sorry for your loss.
You can come in if you like, but please remove your shoes.
Yeah, sure.
A drink?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Emily?
What is it? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we had company. Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Hadid. I'm Jace.
He says he's a friend of Lena's.
Lena's friend?
Emily, let's try that new blend, the cinnamon-infused one. Mr. Nolan, I insist you have some tea with us. You look as pale as a ghost.
Okay, I guess. Thanks.
Go on then, Emily.
Sure. Jace, any milk?
You won't take any milk. It dilutes the spice in the tea and defeats the point of it.
Right. Okay.
This is a beautiful place, by the way. Stunning views of the city from up here.
Yes, we do like Cassiola. They never fail to deliver on quality. There's an on-site fitness center in this building too, and a pool, but my wife still insists on going out for a run every morning. Bit of a waste of resources, if you ask me.
Well, Belfont Park is just outside. She probably enjoys the open space.
Not much open space when you have reporters breathing down your neck every chance they get.
I can't imagine what that must be like.
Of course you can't. I don't expect you to.
Dr. Hadid, I hope I'm not overstepping the mark, but aren't you curious to know what happened to Lena?
But what makes you think I'm not?
Oh, it's just that the news has been saying that you and your wife have kept particularly quiet, and I...
That's the second presumption you've made about me since walking into my home.
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend.
I expect you've seen all the other mindless twaddle they've been sharing about us, too. I've served as a surgeon in England, my home country, for 10 years, and then in the USA for another 15. I've sat on the board of medical examiners and set up 3 medical charities in Tennessee alone, with my money. But to the media, all I am is a brown face, a Muslim, who prays Salah 5 times a day, and while also executing the honor killing of his own flesh and blood. Tell me, Mr. Nolan, why should I feel the need to justify myself to these people?
You're right. I shouldn't make any assumptions. Again, I'm really sorry.
You're TJ's.
Thank you. I know this is really hard for you both. And everything that you're saying in the media coverage right now, I get it. It doesn't make any sense. I can't understand why anyone would hurt such a kind, sensitive person. You know, it's amazing. The entries in Lena's blog, Soul Confessions, they make me feel like she's still alive. I can't stop reading them.
She did enjoy writing.
Yeah, I can see that. I can feel it. The entries where she mentions Aaliyah.
Sorry. Aaliyah?
Sabar, Emily.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Emily, it's okay. Go to the bedroom. You can pull yourself together there.
I'm sorry.
Apologies you had to see that. Refill?
Is she all right?
Who? Emily? She's fine. She lets her emotions get the better of her sometimes. It's been 20 years since we lost our middle child, and she hasn't come to terms with it yet.
Your middle child?
Yes, Aaliyah, Lena's older sister.
Meanwhile, on the other side of Miami.
Look at those young girls. I'd never let my daughter step out of the house in something as short as that.
Well, you're probably the only man with a pulse in Miami right now complaining about those skirts. Come on, Grandpa. Let's move.
I can't understand it. Modesty is lost on today's youth. And I suppose you're into that kind of thing?
Yep, because I'm a dog.
You're just young. With time, you'll learn that there's a lot more to a woman's beauty.
Right. Something else for me to learn. Thanks. Seriously, what the fuck? Is the driver in front of me dead?
All right. Steady. We've got plenty of time to get to the office.
Except that if I don't get through those log sheets, then I'll have you on my fucking back, won't I? Sorry. I didn't mean to snap, I just...
Is there something you'd like to share with me, Ramos?
Nah, D, I'm cool.
Because you've been in a funk ever since our follow-up with the Hadids.
I'm fine, alright?
Okay. So, Omar Hadid.
Definitely one to talk to. So we're having some troubles with tracking him down. He's a bit of a nomad.
Artist types.
The only artist in the family.
Well, that's not true. Remember Mrs. Hadid's paintings at their condo? She was pretty keen on showing you that sunset piece, wasn't she?
Yeah, maybe. I was just there to do my job.
I know.
Right. According to this, we're only 10 minutes away. I'll work on confirming a location from Omar Hadid as soon as we get it in. At least we know that he's definitely in the country.
Okay, good. With any luck, we'll have some useful information to share that Yusuf and Emily Hadid weren't willing to part with. Something still doesn't sit right with me about those two. especially the father. He seems oddly complacent. And did you notice the way he was speaking to his wife?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I was focusing on a lot more than just Emily Hadid. There was a lot of other stuff going on.
Of course. You sure you're okay, Ramos?
I told you, I'm fine.
Back at the Hadid's rental, while Jace is still there.
She had ashen skin and slightly blue-tinged lips. It was clear from the moment she was born that she'd have a battle ahead of her for the rest of her life. Emily was in shock. Even though we received the diagnosis weeks before Aaliyah arrived, she didn't want to believe it.
What was the condition?
Hypoplastic left heart syndrome. It's a type of congenital heart defect. It means the left side of the heart doesn't form correctly and stops it from pumping oxygen-rich blood to the rest of the body.
And you knew she'd be born with it?
Yes, I insisted on a prenatal echocardiogram at one of Emily's prenatal tests. They wouldn't have carried one out otherwise. I was well educated about the risks, including the shorter life expectancy. However, as a doctor, I had faith that we could provide Aaliyah with the best possible chances. I ensured that she had her first surgery just a few days after she was born. The surgeons created a new aorta, connected it to the right ventricle of her heart. Then she had a bidirectional Glenn shunt procedure when she was 3 months old, and then the Fonten procedure when she was 2 years old. We had the best cardiologist in the south of England. But Aaliyah's condition was complex.
Must have been devastating to live with.
Aaliyah was always tired, exhausted. She barely had any energy to feed during the first few months of her life. She was about a third of the size she should have been and remained small throughout her childhood. I used to call her my pocket rocket. Then there were the seizures, the pain in her legs and ankles every night, and she hated the smell of vapor rub. She used to cry as a toddler and say it would make her eyes burn.
What? What was it like for the rest of the family?
We didn't have time to babysit each other's emotions. God was testing our resolve, and Aaliyah remained our priority. Emily and I both had demanding jobs. Well, this was back when Emily was well enough to actually work, but we dedicated nearly all of our time to finding additional support for Aaliyah. New surgical procedures, medicine, nutrition plans, until she had to use a gastronomy tube. It was our life.
So, when Lena was born?
When Lena was born, she was healthy.
And when Aaliyah passed away?
She passed away due to further complications from her condition. When she was 11 years old, Lena was 8 or 9 at the time. And my eldest, Omar, was 14.
Oh, I didn't realize he had a son too. Where is he now?
I don't know. He left her home a couple of years after Aaliyah passed away to pursue a career in travel photography. The last I heard from his mother, he was living in Spain with his boyfriend.
Oh, right. Is that why the two of you no longer have a relationship?
Why?
I mean...
Just because I'm a Muslim man doesn't mean I'm going to disown my gay son. I don't impose my faith on anyone. Even Emily is agnostic.
Right. I'm sorry. So, after Omar left, Lena was all alone?
Well, she was hardly alone. She had both her parents.
Okay.
Emily struggled considerably. After the death of Aaliyah and after her only son left home. So, a few years later, I decided it would be best to shift the family to Nashville, Tennessee, where Emily's from. Time and a change of scenery can help wounds heal faster. I'd also been offered a promising job opportunity up here in the States. It made sense.
And Lena? How did she feel about leaving her home in England?
She was 15 and hormonal. I can't imagine she would have been happy about anything. After we settled in Nashville, Lena rightfully followed in the footsteps of her parents and trained to become a doctor too. A critical care physician. A life too was dedicated to the service of others.
Certainly seems that way.
So much so that she had no time to entertain futile relationships. In fact, by the time she was in her early 20s, I would say that she had socially isolated herself completely. I don't even recall ever receiving a birthday card from anyone but her mother. So you can imagine my surprise when I opened the door to you earlier and you introduced yourself as Lena's friend.
Well, you see, I...
Mr. Nolan, Perhaps in your line of work, you've forgotten how to draw the line between real life and fiction. But please, in the weeks after the murder and incineration of my youngest daughter, do not pull me into your pseudo-fantasies, or whatever you believe this to be. The only reason that I've stomached your company and your disingenuous despair over the last 30 minutes is because I was curious to see how far your audacity could take you. And it isn't funny that even though I stand before you now as a father who has lost both his daughters, that you still remain the lesser man of us two. Pathetic, weak. So cowardly that you had to lean on a lie to retrieve information about Lena. I don't know what your agenda is. I don't know why you're seemingly obsessed with my daughter. But should I ever find you sniffing around my family's business again, make no mistake, I will personally rip out your tonsils and make you wear them like a necklace. You can show yourself out.
An hour later, Jace has arrived at Astrid's studio apartment.
It doesn't bite.
Sorry?
The sofa, Jace. You can take a seat. Unless you'd prefer this chair here.
No. It's fine. Thanks. I'm sorry I'm a little late.
It's perfectly fine. Please, just make yourself comfortable. Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you. I actually had a large cup of cinnamon tea not long ago.
Nice. Good choice.
Well, actually, it wasn't my own choice. Hey, it's hot in here. Can we open a window or something?
Jace, it's okay. You can take your time here. This is a safe place, okay? I'll open a window. Let me get you a glass of water, too. I have these delicious raisin biscuits as well, just in case you're feeling peckish. Please do help yourself if you wish.
Biscuits?
What? What is it?
It's nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cookies.
But it's weird though, right? Because you do call certain kind of cookies in British English. I mean, how do you differentiate a cookie from a biscuit? What's the criteria?
When does the sea become the ocean? When does a biscuit become a cookie? Just more of life's most philosophical questions.
I love it though. The differences in language and how they're determined by cultural nuances in decades of history. It's fascinating. So, where in the UK are you from?
The South, but my husband's from the US, hence. Anyway, we're not here to talk about me. You said you enjoy the nuances of language. I'm interested. Is that why you became a writer?
One of the reasons. I've always been a word geek. I used to love studying etymology as a teen. But I think it's the story part of writing that actually got me into writing. I love sharing stories. It's cathartic, you know.
Cathartic in what way?
Wait, is this it? Is this the therapy part?
I think you're the only person who can answer that question.
I don't know about that. I'd be hopeless at finding the answers for anything at the moment. It's like there's this huge fog in front of me, you know. It's blocking my path and blurring my vision. Sometimes, I swear it takes the shape of a scary, monstrous creature that's reaching out to me with its ghastly arms, trying to claw me into hell.
That's a vivid picture.
It's the curse of being a writer.
Or the gift, some might argue.
The some who don't have impossible deadlines hanging over their heads. Or pretentious kids who think it's okay to speak to you like shit just because your dad owns a publishing company. What a murder investigation that.
That's...
Forget it. I shouldn't have gone there.
Well, clearly you wanted to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have mentioned it. I've been following the case. The one back in Star River? Where you were staying?
It wasn't just me. There are 8 other families staying in Azari, and all the other locals from Star River who've lived there for years.
I know.
Yet, I'm the only one who's... You know, I did something really fucked up today.
And what was that?
I turned up at Dr. Hadid's doorstep. Lena Hadid's dad, knowing full well that he and his wife were breathing. But I stuck my fat foot in the door. I mean, who does that? Who does what I've just done? What I've been doing? Sophie's right about me. I'm fucking hopeless.
Jace, you're so hard on yourself.
You're saying that because you barely know me.
True. I may not know everything about you, but what I do know is that there is a man sitting before me now, repenting of the things that he believes he's done, that have hurt other people, all while hurting so deeply himself. I can see that hurt, and I can also see your tendency to avoid it more than a caterpillar would avoid a field of lavender. Yes, the simile, I know. But don't worry, I wouldn't be putting you out of a job just yet, because, Jace Nolan, I feel there are hundreds of more books inside you yet. Look, I know you've come into this first meeting with a whole host of preconceptions, and that's okay. I expect that, I do. But preconceptions hold you back, including the ones you may have about yourself. They make you see things in black and white in a world that's full of color. We can work on this, if you like. And we can talk about anything you feel like sharing, but what I also need you to know is that we don't have to discuss anything. Anything that makes you feel cornered, uncomfortably exposed, or derailed. Okay?
I'm sorry. Am I allowed to say you're really kind and warm?
Careful. You'll be having me put my rates up. So, with the time we have left, why don't you tell me more about your day? What happened exactly?
Sure. So, as you know, I flew in 2 days ago from Bend, and I've been reading all about Lena Hadid. And what an incredible person she was, and...
Later that evening, at the Hadid's rental in downtown Miami.
Yusuf, please don't! All by myself, again! Beautiful views, beautiful Cassiola condo, beautiful 65-inch TV, beautiful open kitchen, beautiful glass shower stall, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Do I feel like such a mess? Oh, God. It's all such a fucking mess. Ramos, I need to see you. Please. I can't do this anymore.
I can't talk right now.
Please, I'm begging you. You're the only one who knows. Ramos, no. Oh my God, please help me. Ramos.
Okay. What the hell is going on? Since when did Emily confide in Officer Ramos? Derailed is an OBS production on the Amplified Audio Network of Podcasts. Executive produced by Mateo Bradford Vazquez, John Stopinger, and Neely Khan. Produced and edited by Michael Shimali, and written and directed by Neely Khan. The team would like to thank the starring sponsor featured in this episode, Cassiola, who provide vacation homes you love across Miami, Orlando, and Aruba. You can check this awesome brand out by following the sponsor links in our show notes, as this podcast would not have been possible without them. Join me again next week for episode 6, where we'll try and make sense of this messy, knotty plot. It's gonna be a good one.